Good morning. Good to see everyone here. I thank the Lord for another day. It's good to be back in His house, and it's good to be here to celebrate with one another. I don't know about you. I was looking forward to getting here. I could think of a million places that I could be right now, but I'd rather be in the Lord's house, as I always say, than the finest hospital in Jackson County. So, or hospitals in Jackson County. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And if you're able to stand that long, I'll try to read it quickly. We're going to read God's Word, and we're going to preach today on the difference that Jesus makes. Luke 24, 13 through 35. And behold, two of them were going that were... looked at the wrong line. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling with them. Now, get this verse in your mind and think on it, because it's important to know this. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. And He said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to Him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And He said to them, "What things?" And they said to Him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to the sentence of death and crucified Him. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find His body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that He was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but Him they did not see. And He said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the Scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and He acted as though He were going farther. But they urged Him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So He went in to stay with them. When He had reclined at the table with them, He took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, He began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scriptures to us?' And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experiences on the road and how He was recognized by them in the breaking of bread." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful again for the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we will continue to celebrate the resurrection every day of our lives, because it is of great importance that Jesus did die and that Jesus rose again. These things had to happen in order for us to become saved and in order us to have a restored relationship with you, that we could spend an eternity in heaven, Father, with you. And now, Lord, as we've read this word, we pray that we will plant this word in our minds and hearts, that we will feed on it, that it will change us, Lord. And Father, we believe today in the resurrection, and we're so thankful. And now as I preach this word, let everything come from you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, and nothing of my own words or nothing from my flesh. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Kind of feel like an auctioneer with all that reading I had to do. Whew, I'm tired. On Resurrection Day, Jesus had an encounter with two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. Their journey with Jesus that day describes the journey that each and every person can have with the risen Christ and the tremendous difference he makes. Now, I want you to realize this. After Jesus had risen, Mary didn't even recognize him. She thought he was a gardener. And then we just read in the scriptures of Luke that as he's traveling with these two men, their eyes were made to where they didn't recognize him by looking at him. And isn't that amazing? So here they're walking with Jesus, and one of the men said, well, didn't our hearts burn with inside of us? So it's like humans today. We hear of something happening. We know it's happened, but sometimes we can't get our mind to really, what you would say, we can't get our minds to wrap around the realness of it. I mean, people had heard Jesus talk about his crucifixion. They heard him say that he would rise again from the dead. And I don't think that it really, I think what it did, it got in one ear and then fell out the other side. I don't think it actually hit the deep thinking processes of their brain. And I don't think that they really took it into the heart, because a lot of times we come to church and we sit during service and we hear God's word, and we're here, Jesus is here with us, but a lot of times we don't hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And a lot of people will have an experience like this. Well, I went to church and the Lord was there. Well, how was church? Well, I didn't get much out of it. Well, how come? Well, I had my mind on everything else that's going on around me. And that's exactly what these two men were saying. They said that Jesus was crucified, and they're talking to Jesus the entire time. And they said, but now it's the third day, and they had not even believed or had even seen him risen, but he's right there on the road walking with them. And we have to come to a realization that Jesus is who he says he is. And you and I, when we got saved, we should have known already he's risen from the dead, but you would be surprised in this very day and age of the people that don't believe that Jesus ever died or rose from the dead. There's a lot of people today who basically live a blinded life. They don't even, if you ask people who Jesus is, who is he to you, they can't even give you a straight answer. I watched a video where a young man walked into a Walmart store and he had his video camera and he was walking up to people and he said, let me ask you a question. He said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And every single person that he encountered said, no, I do not. And a lot of people even said, I don't even know who that is. Don't even know who Jesus is. And that's what's sad. There's a lot of people living right now in our time who don't go to church. And do you know why they don't go to church? It's because nobody's ever invited them. You know, we as Christians, we can go around and we can talk about the glorious things that Christ has done for us, and we can have the type of fellowship with one another, but until we go out and take His Word and start sharing it with those who are blinded, see, there's people that the devil has blinded their eyes so they don't recognize or see Jesus. You see the comparison there? That's what's happening. The devil doesn't want people to get saved. The devil doesn't want people to go to church. The devil doesn't want anybody to experience a good life in Christ. So what does he do? He plants in the mind all kinds of reasons why they ought to stay home. Well, I could get up this morning and wash and wax the car. It's a beautiful day out. And then nobody goes to church. And sadly, there's a lot of Christian people that we should be on the road to Emmaus, and we should be walking with people who are blinded to Jesus, who don't know Him, who've never heard of Him, and we should be the ones witnessing with our life and witnessing with words that the Holy Spirit has placed inside of us. Because I guarantee you, when you start speaking the name of Jesus to people and you witness to them, it may not be maybe sometimes physically evident, maybe we don't see, but I guarantee you that when you witness Jesus, a seed has been planted in that person's heart, and God is the one who will take care of that person getting saved. We always have to remember, it's not us that does the saving. It's Jesus that does the saving. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. And those words are very powerful and truthful. Nobody can get to heaven by their good works. Nobody can obtain salvation by being a member of the church or serving in some capacity for a number of years. You can only do it by receiving Jesus. And when Jesus comes in your heart and life, He opens your eyes. And what Jesus does in your heart and life, it makes you want to go and tell others. I've always said that the church is only effective when we are out in the highways and the byways in our neighborhoods and we are being an effective communication source for the name of Jesus. When we're telling people what He done for us. I mean, some of us may not have a real wowing testimony. You know, I've heard testimonies where people said, well, I was a gang member, or I was on drugs, or I was in prison, and Christ, and boy, people tell this story, and you know how some folks are, wow, that's amazing. Well, you know what? Jesus looks at sin. Sin is sin to Jesus. The only one sin that's unforgivable is blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. That's one thing the Lord says, unforgivable. But everything else, sin is sin. So anyway, it doesn't matter where we've come from in life, but what it is, when Christ comes into the heart and life and he opens up and he chases the darkness out of our life and he opens our eyes and we start to experience this new love. We start to experience this new joy, a joy we never had before. We want to go and tell everybody about it. But it's amazing that the events of life are so overwhelming to people that they don't even focus on the Lord. Everybody at this time, they're focused on Jesus being dead, and to so many of them, He was still dead. You remember Thomas. Thomas said, I won't believe it until I can touch His hands and I can touch the place in His side where the spear got thrust. And then Jesus appeared before the disciples and He told Thomas to come. and touch my hands and touch my side. And then Thomas believed. You would have thought, after everything that the disciples had been through, and even Thomas, you would have thought they would have believed Jesus, but them themselves were locked in an upper room, afraid that they were going to suffer the same persecution and punishment that Jesus did. And how many people today are overwhelmed in life? They're overwhelmed with circumstances, and they don't even get out or even pick up the phone or anything to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I've had a lot of people over the years, "Well, now, Brother Jim, I just don't know what God's call is on my life." I said, "Well, what do you mean, what's God's call on your life?" "Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I pray." Well, Jesus already gave us, before He ascended into heaven, He told us to go into all the world, and He told us to preach the gospel. Now, it may not be from a pulpit, but we are supposed to share from our heart, and we're supposed to make fishers of men. And see, when people get saved and they come into our church, it doesn't stop there. When new converts come into the church, it's up to us as a church body to help disciple them and help them along the way, and to continue to pray for them and to support them in a lot of different ways. One thing I noticed when somebody gets saved and they start going to church, you know that when somebody's a new Christian in Christ, if there's not someone there to really kind of help them along, if the church body, have you ever realized that they kind of drop off after a while? They're on fire. They're all excited about what God's done in their life. And they come to church a while, and then they start to miss here and there. And it's all because they said, "Well, I didn't know what else to do. And now I just feel like it ain't worth it." And it's sad when we get to a place like that, that life overwhelms us. We are filled with sadness, and we fail to witness. Jesus was being a witness to these men. And they said, you know, were our hearts not burning with inside of us? But I read the scripture where it said they weren't able to recognize Him. But when they broke the bread with Jesus at the table, then their eyes were opened. In verse 31, their eyes were open. They could see clearly. So when we get saved, our eyes are opened. We never recognized the Lord beforehand, but the moment we get saved, our eyes are opened and we can see Jesus for who He is, and He comes into our life and we have a brand new start. We have a brand new life every day. And it doesn't matter how many times you fail. Remember, we are never going to be perfect as long as we're on the face of this earth. Words are going to slip. We're going to have anger. We're going to have all kinds of things go on in our life. But here's the thing that Jesus has told us. Jesus has told us as Christian people to abstain from all appearance of evil. And to abstain from all appearance of evil, it means you turn your back against evil. You stay away from it. If there's something out there that doesn't go along with God's Word, and you know it's not going to produce fruit in your life, and it's not a benefit to you, and if it's especially something that will pull you away from fellowship with God, it means stay away from it. And we as Christian people ought to recognize the things that are before us that are of the enemy, because the Holy Spirit will quicken us to always know in our hearts what's right and what is wrong. And we should choose every day as Christian people to live and abide by His Word. Our faith, secondly, our faith should only be in Jesus. Don't ever put your faith in a preacher. Don't put your faith in your Sunday school teacher. Don't put your faith in elders or deacons. Don't put your faith in anybody that's a person. Why? because they're human beings and they can't do for you what Jesus can. And I've said this before. Jesus said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because if you don't have faith, I mean, it's like building a house. If you build a house, what do you have to have first? That's right, foundation. Because what does that foundation do? It holds up the structure, it provides support, and it gives strength and stability to what's sitting on top of it. You ever watch someone build a house? I'm amazed at how these guys put these walls up, and I hear them guys say, well, I need to get that wall plumb. Well, first time I ever heard that, I thought, plumb? I said, what do you mean by plumb? And this guy said, oh, well, it's squaring up the wall. I said, oh, okay, you're trying to get it even. Yes. So, and them guys get them walls pretty well even, and to get that roof on, I'm always amazed at these carpenters. I can't even put two popsicle sticks together. That tells you how advanced I am in construction. But anyway, faith is our foundation. Jesus, we've got to have faith in Him. He is the chief cornerstone. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said He's the chief cornerstone. And we've got to build the church on that chief cornerstone. You can't build your house out there on the sand, because the Bible says that the man who built this house out on the sand, when the winds came and beat against it and the waves came, it was destroyed. And if we try to build our life, our Christian life, on anything else but a faith in Jesus Christ, when life starts coming against you, you're going to fall and you're going to be washed away. Really. That's the truth of it. But when we build on Jesus Christ, we are built on the chief cornerstone. And when we build our life, when we build the church, which is us, not this building here, but when we as the church are built on Jesus Christ, we are built on a firm foundation, and we as a church body should be loving each other, fellowshipping with each other. There should be no division in any church, but sadly there is today. And you know what? I really hope and pray that God, by His power, starts to divide, or I mean starts to do away with division in the churches. And there's churches that go up against churches. Well, this church over here is bigger than this one, so everybody goes over there because they got donuts and coffee and the big rock praise band and the lights and the smoke, and that's what everybody likes. Well, I'll tell you this, I'm not about entertainment. I don't come to church to be entertained. I love coming to church and singing out of a hymn book. The second song we did, number 401, I'd never heard, in my 22 years of living, I've never heard that song, but I love singing it. I learned a new one. But I love to sing out of a hymn book, and I love to hear Effie play the piano. It's where your heart is that matters. And if your heart's not in Jesus Christ, nothing else is going to matter. But when Jesus is your all, when He's your everything, your life is going to be a lot better. But He's got to be the focus of life. We got to build on Him. And I tell you what, when you build on Jesus, man, the devil's going to bring a lot of storms against your life. He's going to invade your mind with so much. But you've got power and authority to speak the Word of God in Jesus' name. And I wish more preachers would preach this and teach it from the pulpits. It's why a lot of Christians have defeated life. They're not speaking God's Word because they're not studying it and they're not using it with authority. Because when we speak the Word, then it makes the devil to flee from us. Every time Satan tempted Jesus, he didn't run to somebody and go, "Oh, the devil's after me. Could you help me? I need prayer." No, Jesus said, "It is written," and then Jesus would quote his Father's word, and the devil would go away and leave, and the angels would come and minister to Jesus. And that's what the Lord was an example to us. So when we put our faith and trust in Him and when we live our lives for Him daily, He will meet every need. He will be there to comfort you. He will be there to shelter you. And He walks with you every step of the way. And always remember, Jesus will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. But what happens? We take the first step and we get led astray and we go this way. And then where are we at? Well, we're back. Have you ever been on a trip and thought, "Well, I don't need that GPS or I don't need that roadmap. I know where I'm going." And then you get on a road that you don't know where you're at. And then you end up somewhere you ain't never seen. And then you're sitting going, "Well, how did I get here? And what in the world's going to happen next?" It describes a lot of Christians' lives today. Jesus is here on this road. But people have taken this road, take their own way, and then a little bit later, they're like, "Well, Lord, why did you leave me? Why are you persecuting me? Why?" It's not God's fault. The Lord never left us. It's us that always walk away. But when we are connected together with Him in faith, and we continue to believe in Him every day and read and study His Word, the Bible says, He will never leave us and never forsake us. Lastly, Jesus opens our eyes to the truth. Well, these men, their eyes were opened, and in the presence of Jesus, they could see. They knew when their eyes were open. Could you imagine? I remember one time somebody told me that a friend of ours was back in town. I said, "Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't even believe it." Because I had people kid with me before. And I had this friend I dearly loved. Well, somebody said, "Well, we're getting together having a dinner tonight at Walt's Pizza in Marion. And she's going to be there." I don't believe that. I don't think she's even here yet. I think everybody's pulling my leg. Well, I had all this doubt and stuff going on, thinking they was pulling some kind of joke. And I get to Walt's Pizza, and there's two other of my classmates sitting there. And I thought, "Yep, I knew it. She's not here. Dearest friend in the world. She's not here at all. I knew they was pulling my leg." And then, after a little bit, someone goes, "Well, she's here." And I'm looking toward the doorway. And then in a few minutes, here come my dear sweet friend Kara, walking right through with her boyfriend with her. And they come, and I tell you what, my heart was so filled with joy. Hadn't seen her since graduation, which has been about 10 years ago. And but I hadn't seen, well, I've been graduated now for 37 years. I hadn't seen her in a long time. But when I saw her, I was so overjoyed. I realized that they were speaking the truth. And when these men's eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus, I could only imagine the excitement. They were probably like kids at Christmas time. How many of you remember your kids at Christmas time? Man, boy, they couldn't wait to get up, the excitement to open the shiny presents and see what kind of cool toys they got. And we ought to be the same way. But a lot of people go, "Well, you know, I just don't know if I believe all that." And those are the people who will never truly know the Jesus that I know. Jesus took my life and made it something completely different. And when He opened my eyes and I could see the beauty that's really all around, I saw darkness and despair and gloom for years before. And I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't. I wanted to die. I hated life. I was 18 years old, lost. And all I wanted to do was die and never exist. That's my mindset without Christ. That's true me. Alone, I didn't like people. I didn't want to be around nobody. I had a couple good friends, and that was all I did, was hung out with them. I didn't like to be around nobody. And Mom and Dad always wanted me to go to church, yeah. So I'd go to Sunday school, and when I started driving, I'd get in my car and go on home. I didn't want to be at church. And when that time came, I sat down at this table with Jesus, basically, just say it this way, I sat down for a feast, and when I partook of what Jesus gave me, He gave me this bread of life. And then I realized He had spilled His blood on the cross for my sins. And when my eyes were opened and I saw the truth and I saw what Jesus had to give me, then I wanted to live. I didn't want to be the same old guy that I used to be. I didn't want to cuss anymore. I didn't want to live a despairing life. I didn't want to live my life for the devil like I used to. I started wanting to share with every single person I could tell. And yeah, I've let life get in the way over at times, and I strayed away and didn't witness like I should, but man, my prayers, Lord, let me witness. And I tell you what, I find myself more and more often sharing Jesus in some way, shape, or form, and I know seeds are being planted. And that's exactly what Christ wants for us. Christ wants you and I to get out and share the good news so that people's eyes will be opened. People in this world and this day and age need Jesus. And sometimes the only Jesus they might ever see is your life and your and how you live it. Because some people don't read this word, but they could see Jesus at work in your life. I guarantee you that'll make a life-changing difference in them. Our hearts need to be set on fire for His kingdom. See, the day and time is coming when I mean, Jesus is on His way. I don't know when. I don't know the day or the hour. And I'm not going to walk around and try to predict it. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And I'm going to witness. And when that trumpet sounds and we're called out of here, or if I die first, whatever happens, when that trumpet blows, then we can say he's here. But we need to be out telling folks about Jesus. I mean, last Sunday I preached about the resurrection, and boy, that should just set our hearts on fire. And Jesus walked the earth for 40 days after He had risen, and on the 41st day, He was taken up into heaven, and Jesus said, the same way that I'm going up, I'm coming back again. Oh, that ought to get us excited right there. It should. Jesus loves us that much. Let's share it with somebody else.